So welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Sensormatic. As always, my name is Paul Besant, your host for the day, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome our guest for this week, Bruce Duncan. Bruce has got a raft of experience in the retail and beyond space. I think I'm right in saying he started his career probably as an accountant, been through Deloitte, famous within the retail risk world, shall we say, came to prominence within Greggs, Morrisons, Matalan. He's done some business consulting as well. Bruce can often be found sharing his knowledge and expertise with the wider audience and community as well, and we'll come on to why he thinks that's valuable. And latterly, Bruce is now heading up the risk function at The Tote. Now, those of you in the UK may well think I know that name, but for our international listeners, I'm going to get Bruce to explain what The Tote does. But Bruce, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks, Paul. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, great to have you here, Bruce. Now, quite the career, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But The Tote, would you like to enlighten us?
Yeah, I'll try and do my ambassadorial duties, having been there now for, I think, 4 months coming up at the beginning of April. So The Tote is an operator within the gambling and betting industry, slightly different to your better known gambling operators, bookmakers, for want of a better phrase. So your Ladbrokes, your Corals, your Sky Bets, etc. They're what's known as fixed odds bettors. The Tote works on a slightly different model whereby the punters will contribute into a pool, and that pool is then shared between the winners. So probably the closest thing you could compare it to is the lottery. However, with The Tote and with gambling through The Tote, you make more of an informed decision because you pick your preferred winners or your preferred placements within horse racing. We cover sports, including horse racing and football at this stage, but we are looking to expand into others, potentially greyhound racing, which obviously the model for that type of sport and betting model is quite similar to our bread and butter, which is horse racing. And as a business, we actually began in the late 1920s, established by Winston Churchill, in order to make gambling legal, because gambling at that stage was quite underground and sort of black market gambling. He developed The Tote, and it remained a public organization under government leadership until 2011. It was then taken over by Betfred, and in 2019, the Alizetti Group, which was a selection of shareholders mostly associated with horse racing, either as breeders or as owners or as trainers, together with a few ex-investment bankers, actually, the CEO and CFO come from the investment banking world. They took over The Tote, and it's now operating as an independent operator. And having operated now for a year and a half, is doing quite nicely, and we're building good strategic platforms and, operating in a space that is very important for the sport itself. We contribute a lot back to horse racing, that is one of the core values and principles that we hold, is to sustain the sport that we operate in, and that will extend to other sports as and when. So hopefully that's given you a bit of a description of where I now work.
Fantastic, and a nice framed it in a really positive way there. So what a shame it wasn't acquired by Bet Winston though, opposed to Betfred when it first came out of government hands. And for our North American listeners, I just need to point out that you use the term football correctly. I know they're a little bit misguided and sometimes refer it to soccer, but football in the traditional terms. And actually, I can't let this chat go on any further without sort of trying to figure out if that's the New England rugby away kit that you're wearing there with us today. This is a little bit one of those moments for those listening on the podcast. This is the blue ball is the one behind the yellow. I can see the word rugby. Go on then, indulge us.
You may have noticed from my accent, if you're aware of a South African accent, that I'm not from the northeast of England or central England, now living in Leeds. That's a Springbok top, and that was commemorating the 2015 World Cup, but we actually won the 2017 World Cup, most recently. So yeah, no, very proud South African, and love my rugby.
Fantastic. We'll indulge you that one, and rightly so for that moment. Now, Deloitte corporate mergers, acquisitions, I think was the start of the journey, which then took you through accountancy. Just briefly then tell me and tell the listeners how that became, I think Greggs was the next stop, and through your LP and risk journey. Just explain to us how that unusual thread happened.
Yeah, I did start off life at Deloitte, qualified as an auditor, which I wasn't particularly enamored by. So went into the mergers and acquisitions, corporate finance world, spent a few years doing deals between £5 and £100 million, got really good experience and exposure to different parts of the business model. But eventually I wanted to move into a more corporate life, sort of working at the sharp end. So I joined Greggs as an analyst. I then, within a couple of years, was promoted down to Yorkshire, where I now live, and became the divisional financial controller of one of their subsidiaries in Yorkshire. However, the business model changed through the financial crisis time, towards 2008 to 2010. And through that centralization, my role, together with my colleagues in other subsidiaries, became redundant when they centralized the finance function. So I was really at a point of making a decision as to whether I stayed with Greggs or left and continued my finance career, when the question came from our sales director and CEO at the time to say, how would you fancy starting a loss prevention function? To which my answer was, well, I'm not quite sure what that is, but I'll give it a go. Maybe not quite as quickly as that. I went away and researched it and liked the idea of a challenge and a change. So I set up a team of one initially, which was the loss prevention function, and started to sort of look into the losses, the shrinkage, and also the opportunities, because there's always two sides to a coin. Pick off the low-hanging fruit, saw some benefits, and grew that team over 7 years to a team of six. And that's when, as you mentioned earlier, Paul, I made my move to Morrison's as a head of LP, more on the risk and operating model side. So root cause analysis and that kind of more detailed data side, which I guess I'd started my career in Greggs with. Didn't spend a long time at Morrison's, and was then contacted by Matalan off the back of a recommendation from one of the colleagues I'd met in the loss prevention industry. Actually, he was moving on and recommended me to Matalan. So they got in touch, and I went in as the head of risk, which incorporated a much broader remit than loss prevention. So started to give me a bit of insight into what the compliance side of the world looked like. But really worked with a fantastic team at Matalan, learned a lot from them. You know, my four direct reports at Matalan were gold dust, especially in my first sort of year and a half there. And then unfortunately, through the pandemic, my role became redundant. It was amalgamated with the legal department, and one of the prerequisites was to have a legal qualification. So unfortunately, on the wrong side of the accounting stroke legal fence on that one. I was redundant for a few months. And then through the application process, spotted a role at the Tote, didn't know a lot about the business or the industry, but thought, well, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. And the rest is history. So now head of risk and data protection officer. So again, that sort of broader remit, but working in a different industry, which is, as you can imagine, quite challenging after a decade or so, 15 years, I think, in the retail side of things. But again, you know, I enjoy a challenge. I enjoy learning, and you know, I'm getting both of those. But interestingly, through the course of my career, the Tote seems to align itself with kind of the lesser known, probably value side of the betting industry. But certainly a business with great values, great people, and if I could sum it up in a phrase, I would say the Tote is the gambling operator with a conscience in terms of what we give back to the industry, in terms of how we look after our customers. And we're right at the start of our journey. Even though we're a business with a lot of heritage, we've got an opportunity to leapfrog, not only in terms of digital technology and platforms for a digital operator, but actually in terms of the way in which we align ourselves to the regulatory requirements, which, whether you're aware or not, the Gambling Commission is the regulator for the UK gambling industry. There's been a number of recent assessments and reviews of the gambling laws because of the transformation to digital. So I think we're well placed as a business to use that as a bit of a springboard as a new business.
I'll come on to sort of day to day at the Tote in a moment. But if I could just flick back to those 15 years or so in retail, I find one of the most interesting things is most people in a senior position, such as yourself, particularly when they change businesses, they have sort of a go-to top one, two, or three things to look at. And that can be a piece of technology or a process. Let's say in the future you were to go back into a traditional retailer, where would you start when you walk in? So you're perhaps either coaching somebody new to the industry, or you've got your own crib sheet. When you arrive, what does it look like to Bruce Duncan? What does Bruce go to first? Where is the low-hanging fruit in most businesses, in your opinion?
I would say first and foremost, Paul, and I guess this is probably a bit of a stereotype, but people. So within retail, the businesses that I've worked in, we've got retail teams of thousands of people. You've got the opportunity of thousands of billboards positively influencing and being ambassadors for the business. But you've also got the opportunity that presents itself when you're in a large retail environment where the people that perhaps aren't as well intended can start to destroy your business. So people, definitely get to know your people, let your people get to know you. In terms of processes, and I guess this is changing in terms of the payment card and the way that the payment industry is digitizing now, but certainly cash. I was always keen to understand the cash cycle and understand the vulnerabilities in the cash cycle, but also stress the importance of managing cash well, because I think it's something that people can relate to. I think it's something which is vulnerable because it's often not very well controlled. But certainly cash gives you an indication within a business as to how well it's run. If cash is being managed well, generally stock will be managed well. I guess as a third point, and looking more at the technology side, within certainly Greggs and then a bit in Morrison's and then in Matalan, I've introduced data mining, okay, which I'm sure a lot of your audience will know what that is. But if you can have visibility of what is happening around that till point, particularly, then I think you put yourself a few steps ahead, and not only in terms of the actual visibility and transparency, but actually in terms of the messages that you can relay to your teams, and very much with the slant that, we know how the operation works. We know how fraud can be committed. Therefore, help us. If you're not part of that 95 to 99% majority who are good, well-intentioned employees, help us to identify those that actually steal from our business and cast a slur upon the good work that we do.
And I've got to ask you, because you've mentioned data mining in all three businesses there, was that the same vendor as a partner that you took with you, if you like, on the journey, or did you have exposure to different providers?
Yeah, I mean, there are a few different providers in the market. When I first investigated data mining at Greggs, IntelliQ was a business that first interested me. And that was, funnily, down to the fact that they offered a free data challenge. And with my Scottish roots and with now living in Yorkshire, you can imagine that I'm very up for a good deal. So when there was a free data challenge, and actually I was learning about what data mining was, that gave me the facility to trial without risk, which was great. So IntelliQ I installed in Greggs, and that is still being used to really good effect. I am still in contact with certain colleagues who run that system, and I know that it works well for them. Within Morrison's, slightly different model in terms of it being a supermarket rather than a fast food service business. And actually, Morrison's and the supermarket model, I would suggest, maybe better serviced by Appriss Retail, which was developed by, I think, two or three individuals that, that came out of Marks and Spencer's, so knew that that industry really well. And then when I went into Matalan, again, the model of the business suited the IntelliQ model. And that is now operating in Matalan as well. So, yeah, I mean, my preference has always been for IntelliQ, but I think that's that could be contested by those people who work in slightly different industries with slightly different models.
Interesting. Yeah, IntelliQ, and I, you know them the same as you, but reminds me of that name. They were the very first title sponsor 20 years ago of what was then the Retail Fraud Conference series. Different ownership, there's a whole lot of drama and backstory around that, but as a business, I know they've been around for and doing a job for a while. So interesting you mentioned those, because it's a name that I've got affinity to as well because of the sort of longevity. So fascinating on that. And then I have to ask, I'm always keen, you know, last question in our sort of in your retail chunk, as it were, was there one piece of technology that you sort of would look at almost sort of, in aspiration that, yeah, if only we could have put that in the business. Was there anything at any of those stops that you looked at and thought, my goodness, that would transform, but it was unaffordable or the business case didn't get through at the time? Was there anything that really sort of caught your eye, and more for them perhaps for not offering a free trial to get it over the line?
I would probably not be able to pinpoint one piece of technology, Paul. I think in terms of the principle, anything that gives you visibility of the total loss cycle, mm-hmm. and that can be a combination of CCTV. It can be CCTV with analytics. It can be thermal mapping in a store. Together with data mining, link that to data mining, and it becomes a very powerful tool. So I think it's more about the way that you structure your infrastructure. I don't think you need to go to, you know, fancy expensive pieces of technology. You just need to give thought to how those different pieces of technology you work with will dovetail. The one piece of technology actually that gave us greatest return in my time at Greggs was a simple redesign of the cash process. So I mentioned cash. Yep. When I started at Greggs, I think they were 90%+ cash, and the remainder was card. Some checks, you may sort of remember that concept. Looking at cash, the automation of certain aspects of the cash cycle, be it counting change in a back office on a count by weight machine, be it plugging in the inputs, so that when, you know, when something is recorded digitally or automatically, it can be uploaded to the back office rather than it requiring someone to input it manually and therefore run the risk of a transposition error. It was very simple things, but actually the redesign of our cash control process through a company called Seven Layer, that returned, and I'm going to be speaking numbers here, but it returned, if you think low 8-figure sum over 5 years. So that's, you know, that's over £10 million net present value in over 5 years. It was a no-brainer. And it took me 5 years to get there because I started off by looking at the physical technology. Within retail, especially within Europe, there's a big move towards cashless transactions, but operator out of the frame. So essentially people putting cash into an automated machine, receiving their change. I started looking at that, and that was from a security point of view, but also from an efficiency perspective. Didn't quite get there because of the capital costs involved. But what that meant is that if I reverse engineered that process, actually I got back to the fact that if we got the process right and we got the automation of the process right, actually you could bolt that kind of technology on at a point in the future or at high risk sites. It took us 5 years and a number of different suppliers that I collaborated with, but eventually we got there and got the just reward, I think.
Yeah, quite the return that is. That's one of the biggest. Now, I want to fast forward to your life today at the Tote and perhaps talk to you a little bit about what your day-to-day looks like and maybe what your focusing on. But before I come to you to answer that question, we're just going to take a brief word from our sponsors, Sensormatic, and then we'll be back.
Now, more than ever, retailers and shopping centres need to create efficient and safe shopping destinations that can thrive in the most challenging of market conditions. Sensormatic Solutions uniquely combines insights into loss and liability, shopper insights and inventory visibility to help you power operational excellence and deliver frictionless, secure, personalised shopper experiences while driving revenue. Visit us at sensormatic.com to learn more.
So welcome back. I am here today with Bruce Duncan for this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast. Bruce, just before that brief interlude, I said I wanted to have a chat with you about what your day-to-day now looks like at the Tote. Perhaps you can just give the audience a feel for, if you like, you know, what you sort of address on a day-to-day. And if anything was to you know, crash the diary, as it were, from a risk perspective, what might that be at this moment in time?
So I guess, as with many of us, my day-to-day at the Tote is quite different to what it was in retail, largely down to working from home. So I generally start off with getting the kids some breakfast, packing school lunches and getting them off to school. So that's a good start, and it always puts life into perspective. From a working point of view, coming into the Tote, and I guess a new industry, I am absorbing things like a sponge. So hopefully taking in quite a lot and having a lot to consider. But in terms of the main points that I'm focusing on at the moment, one is to make sure that as a new, young and relatively immature business, we've got the right infrastructure in place. And that infrastructure extends from a risk management system to things like insurance coverage, but also because I've got two hats at the Tote, one as a decision-making manager, as head of risk, and one as a pseudo advisor, as the DPO. Obviously, it's really important, especially within a regulated business, that we do things right. So we've got the regulation of the Gambling Commission to consider, which thankfully is the responsibility or the accountability of one of my colleagues. But then I've got the responsibility to look after the Information Commissioner's Office side of regulation. So making sure that the GDPR is well understood, making sure that we've got the right processes in place. And again, it's about infrastructure. So yeah, between general risk management and building the right processes and protocols, the GDPR side of things and insurance, those are three focus areas. I mean, I could probably talk for a long time given what I've learned over the last 4 months, but appreciating that the Tote is a relatively new business, a startup essentially, although it's got 90 years of heritage, because we've broken away from Betfred, we're developing all those things for ourselves now. So just good guidance. And I guess the one that I wouldn't want to miss out, because I'm sure many people in my position are facing the similar challenge, is around InfoSec and cybersecurity. We are a digital business to all intents and purposes. So, you know, we rely on our digital platforms. We rely on the fact that we have a disaster recovery process that works and is tested. So that, again, is something I need to build. But we are obviously open to the general risk of working on the internet through the World Wide Web. We have customers' data, so it's ever more important that we're as safe as possible. So, yeah, InfoSec and cybersecurity is probably rounds off that square of priorities at the moment.
Yeah, and I guess when you think about that, you know, a cash heavy business, you know, betting, you know, you tick all of the boxes, don't you, in terms of being high profile organization for those that seek to do, you know, bad things online. So is that, you know, the areas of responsibility, are you now involved in building and expanding that strategy and recovery system and technologies to bring in to protect the business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, as whenever you start in a new job and in a new company, the external perspective is something which is valued. I think, you know, the people that have been responsible for and are responsible for the strategy, hold value in my perspective, especially coming from a retail background, because it's certainly a good forming ground for understanding and applying the core principles and the core rigor that you need. So yes, I'm involved in a number of different things, obviously whilst learning the business. But it's an exciting time, Paul. It's great to be able to look back over 15 years and draw from different parts of my experience and add value. And that's what I'm now in the process of doing. And I guess having been enrolled for 4 months, the expectation will be ever much more that I do that well.
Time to deliver now.
Time to deliver.
But I mean, I have to say, you know, from your own personal perspective, and I realise you're obviously employed by the Tote, so I won't expect you to answer inappropriately. But from a an expertise perspective, the attention to detail one assumes that you get coming through a Deloitte background, where your sort of education is through to that hands-on risk, stores, warehousing, supply chain, and now adding the cyber element as well. That's going to be quite a well-rounded skill set that you've got. So you've got to be pleased with how that's sort of developing your own knowledge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess if you look back at my career, you could almost explain it as a bit of a patchwork quilt. I guess the one advantage that I have is that I haven't jumped from one to the next in quick succession. It's taken me 21 years or so to gather the experience that I've got. Still got a lot to learn, and especially about the gambling industry. It's a different kind of busy. Retail busy is driven largely by your customers and the competition. Whereas within the gambling industry, you've got this additional layer of regulation. And I think that's where I'll benefit most from the Tote, is actually being part of a regulated company and industry and learning a different kind of rigor. I'm pleased with how my career has progressed. I never set out to not stay within the finance discipline, but hopefully the experience and the expertise that I've gathered will help me be a better rounded candidate individual in the future.
Yeah, who knows, if we see you completely immersed back on the retail side at some point further down the line, I think we'd all be delighted to welcome you back into that fold firmly and squarely. But you know, it's terrific that you're still around, we're still able to talk to you in forums like this, and you're contributing that retail expertise back into the industry as well. So long may that continue. We wish you the very best at the Tote. From a selfish point of view, we very much hope that there's a large retailer that needs your skill set at some point in the future. But whatever will be on that. Bruce Duncan, thank you very much indeed for being my guest on this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast.
You're most welcome, Paul. Thanks for the opportunity.